This is Noob and Solo Talk Anime Podcast, Episode 16, In Another World with My Smartphone. Quick intro, In Another World with My Smartphone has a Japanese name I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce. It's a Japanese light novel series written by Patora Fuyuhara and illustrated by Eiji Usatsuka. It began serialization online in 2013 on the user-generated novel publishing website Shosetsuka ni Naru until it was acquired by Hobby Japan for publishing the print edition as a light novel. J Novel Club has licensed the series for an English release, releasing each novel in 6 weekly parts since February 2017. A manga adaptation by Soto began its serialization in Kodokawa Shoten's Comp Ace in November 2013. The manga is licensed in English by Yen Press. An animated television series adaptation by Production Read aired from July to September 2017. The anime series has been licensed by Crunchyroll. And a quick summary, 15-year-old Toya Mochizuki is accidentally killed by God. As an apology, God allows him to be resurrected, but since he cannot send him back to his old world, he instead reincarnates him into a fantasy world along with a single special request. Toya uses his request in order to bring his smartphone into the new world with him, which God modifies. As such, while Toya cannot contact his world, old world with it, the phone can be easily recharged by magic and can otherwise function such as accessing data from the old world and can use relevant features for his new world, such as the GPS function to locate to locations which are comprehensively identified on it. God also greatly amplifies Toya's physical, magical, and cognitive abilities to a certain degree as a further apology for the inconvenience of killing him. Taking full advantage of his second chance at life, Toya befriends many people, mainly females and high-ranking people in the new world. He begins to travel from country to country, solving political disputes, minor quests, and nonchalantly enjoying himself with his newfound allies. All right. With that out of the way, this was obviously one of my recommendations, and I really, really like this anime. So, what are your overall impressions of this anime?
5 out of 10.
I mean, we don't give our rating till the end. Clearly, yeah. I already disagree with that.
I think that's enough said. We'll see you guys next week.
No. I want to know, what specifically about this anime either drew you in or just, totally just turned you off?
I mean, it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. It was just in the middle, I would say. As we were talking about before we started the podcast here, there's a lot of negative criticism around this show, a lot of haters, and some of them I agree with, some of them I think stretched it a little bit too far, but I'm sure we'll get into it as we talk about it. I feel like it's kind of too bland and not fun. Well, here's what I'll say. Hey, let me say this one thing. I think this would be a good video game to play. If I was the main character, I think that would be fun to be overpowered as fuck and just like have all these bitches on to me. But to see it play out as an anime doesn't work as well as it could in
the media. you do at least find the premise of it interesting.
Yeah, I just think it would be better, it's not as fun to watch a character be overpowered and get bitches as it would be if you were playing that character doing it. I think this concept would be cooler in a video game, which, if there was a video game based on this, that would be really cool. Where you get to play an RPG with this type of storyline. That would be, I think, a better format.
I believe it would be a good game. But I also think that as an anime, this worked really well because Toya, in my opinion, is a pretty interesting protagonist. So seeing how he reacts to certain situations he gets in or how he goes about solving problems in his new predicament, I thought was really interesting.
My thing is, like, probably the biggest criticism around this show, just in, like, feedback that I've seen and what I agree with, is that he's just a little bit too overpowered, and he just is a little bit too generic and kind of as a harem protagonist. I mean, on the scale of harem protagonist, I'm not saying he's bottom of the barrel, but he's definitely mid-tier hardcore.
Mid-tier hardcore.
Yep. Mid-tier hardcore.
I don't know.
I wouldn't put him... He's definitely mid-tier. Like, there's nothing special about him. And if anything, him being overpowered is a negative that pulls him down a little bit because it makes him less interesting. Which
I am interested to know what makes you classify this as a harem anime?
Everyone classifies this as a harem anime. This is the definition of a harem anime.
Like, how though? I mean,
he literally has a harem.
He has allies, and eventually, like later on in the show, which is why I can't really say this is a full blown harem. His allies are basically just his friends for most of the show. And later on, after he's already engaged to one girl, like the other girls start realizing that they have feelings for him.
Let's just say the ongoing joke between me and you that these harem animes aren't harem animes is getting a little old. And I don't think any of our listeners
or I have seen full blown harem anime, I wouldn't really classify this as a full blown harem. I would say it has elements of a harem, but to classify it as a full blown harem, it kind of discounts the progress and the relationship built between Toya and all the other characters in the show.
My girlfriend came in and I told her a little bit about the anime. And the look of disgust on her face was crazy. And she said, "Man, that's just fucking stupid and disgusting." And
what did she watch the show though?
She said, "This is the reason I don't like anime." So congratulations.
That's a little harsh.
Congratulations. That's what this show, and people that don't like anime, this is one of those animes that definitely gives anime a bad name, mainly because it's a harem anime. I mean, harem anime.
Let's say we'll agree that it's like maybe halfway between a harem and I would say it's more of like a isekai rom-com. Because for there to be a harem, you have to have a bunch of girls like completely like all like in on the main character. These girls actually have their own motivations, their own like personalities, their own lives.
Yeah, and their
whole
goal is to marry
him.
That's their goal.
No, they eventually getting feelings for him, and like naturally they want to see that those feelings flourish into marriage later on. But like from the get go, they're their own people. They don't live for just the main character. They have their own motivations outside of.
Yeah,
whatever
their
going
dream
on
and goal
character.
In life is to marry him. Anyways, that aside, this is definitely a harem anime.
We'll say it's harem-ish. It has elements of a harem, but it could easily fall into a number.
This is the
genre.
Most harem anime we've ever seen. He literally is the biggest harem of any anime. Literally every single person he meets is in his fucking harem.
No, I mean, because he... spoiler alert, we'll get to it eventually, but he's only going to have 9 wives. So
yeah, I just said that. That's what I'm saying. Like, that is bullshit.
What's bullshit?
This is the definition of a harem anime.
No, it's I will agree to disagree on that. I think that it does have some elements of a harem. It has more elements of a harem anime than any show we've probably covered up to this point. But to classify it as a full blown harem, I think this counts like. The amount of development that all the other girls get in this show outside of, you know, just their relationship with Toya. So, and one other thing too, the reason why I really enjoy this show and why I wanted to go back to it, I saw this like, I think for the first time back in 2019, and it blew me away because the premise itself just draws you in. Even if you lose interest at some point in the show, which I think for most people that probably wouldn't happen. It does keep you genuinely invested. The premise itself, I think, is pretty cool. Like, you know, if you were in another world, what would you want to take with you from this life? I personally probably, I mean, I guess, with all that a smartphone can do these days, I'd probably maybe choose the smartphone myself. How about you?
Absolutely not. The smartphone idea is stupid. The same idea was done in Doctor Who probably about 20 years ago now.
They didn't even have smartphones 20 years ago.
Well, they started with regular cell phones and then they progressed to smartphones. But yeah, that's all started in Doctor Who. That was a thing that they had smartphones that could like talk and do things outside of space and time. And yeah, I mean, it's a thing that exists in Doctor Who, and stupid there, it's stupid here. Yeah, the whole concept is stupid. Another criticism I see of the anime versus like the manga and the novel was that he barely uses the phone, and when he does use it,
are you kidding? In the anime, he uses it quite a bit. He uses it at least once or twice in every episode.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. The
smartphone is very central to the plot of the show.
The concept is just stupid. It's the smartphone definitely didn't need to be there. With the amount of spells he has, he could do everything the phone does without even having the phone.
How?
The only thing the phone gives him is access to information from the other world. That's the most useful thing it has, which he
Its searching features are literally god tier. Not to mention,
but I'm saying
he's able to use the phone in combination with like attack magic. He's able to use the phone to like mass target lots of enemies and then just cast a spell on multiple people at once. I thought that was awesome. That was a brilliant way of like utilizing the smartphone within the confines of the world he's in and stuff. He's able to combine magic with technology in a way that I don't think I've seen anything before this show.
All right, can I read you an excerpt from this worst harem list? I'm just going to read you this excerpt, okay? It's from J-List blog, all right?
All right.
Regarded by many anime fans as the worst isekai series, this anime actually sucks and is terrible.
I mean, there's haters for
so,
every show.
So, not there's only is this show. A terrible
haters are
harem.
Going to hate.
According to this article, it is the worst isekai series.
All right. Let me, like, real quickly, I'm just going to Google the definition of hater. So, let me read this definition series to you. It says a person who greatly dislikes a specific person or thing. And informal, a negative or critical person. I would say that definition applies to whoever wrote that crap that you just read. So,
what do you mean?
I mean that was just pure. That wasn't even criticism, because criticism is really.
Let's look
like
at an anime
down
on their,
and analyzing
let's,
something.
Let's look what's on their good harem list. They said quintessential quintuplets is a good harem.
Which we're going to get to that.
So if you agree that's a good harem, you must also agree that they're...
I wouldn't necessarily say Quintessential Quintuplets is a harem anime.
Saikano is also on the list for best harem.
Saikano is like on a list of the top 10 anime of all time.
Oh, so this...
Well, that's on a whole nother thing.
I fact-checked this article. This article was actually connected to my anime list. So that's where they're getting this information. So according to my anime list, this is the worst isekai and one of the worst harem animes in existence. Now, I would not go as far as to say I agree with that. But I'm saying the fact that the majority of people that have watched the series feel that way, says something.
Well, like, weren't you the one that looked up earlier that this has, like, what, 500-something chapters right now
on the web novel? But...
Like,
yeah.
And it's actually gotten some like pretty positive reviews on this site too. I'm looking at it. So like, this one guy said, rewatch the anime over 5 times. Don't think we'll read the novel though, at least not now, but he did enjoy the anime. And then this other guy said, this book has a main character that's very overpowered, but the story is a great, he says harem, but let's be real. It's got harem elements. I've mentioned my criticism on that. He says also the main character is very giving and chill about it. I agree with that. So the main character in this show, I think, is a genuinely interesting character. he does like evolve with the story. The rest of the characters do too.
Honestly, I'm just gonna say, let's finish up overall impressions. We've been on this for like 15 minutes. Overall impression, I say mid tier. And with that,
I think overall impression, God tier. We're going to say God tier.
Okay. So let's talk about the story. So,
all right.
Specifically about the story.
The starting premise was awesome. Oh, actually, I liked how they started it with something serious, but threw in a little bit of humor in there with that God just was like throwing lightning bolts around randomly and just actually kills. I thought that was hilarious. So it started off like with a really lighthearted tone, and I thought it was a great way to start off. It set the tone for the rest of the show, and every episode typically doesn't get too dark in tone. But it does have its serious moments and stuff. I like the way it started out, though. I thought God himself was an interesting character. And I thought that, especially later on when you get to see the goddess of love and stuff too, I thought they were interesting characters. So it was overall a great start. What did you think about the start? Like, was there any point at the start where you just thought, oh, this can't possibly redeem itself? Or,
I mean, I don't like most isekai the way that they start the show. I think it's pretty stupid.
Didn't get killed by Truck-kun.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was pretty dumb. Like, did they even explain why God was doing that?
God seems to be... He's omnipotent, but he's a little also inept.
Why couldn't God just revive him?
Well, I guess God has rules he has to follow himself.
And then the fact that there's another god later on, that just opens a can of worms that I don't even want to get into. But whatever that means.
I think he's like, you know,
a
rank structure of gods.
Sure, maybe. Well, who knows? But I didn't like the premise that much. I mean, it's just an isekai anime where, like I said, if he wasn't so overpowered, I feel like that's where most people fall out. It's just seeing how overpowered he's made. Like, I get it. God killed
overpowered protagonists are just a thing in anime, period.
He literally becomes the god of this new world, basically.
Yes. I see you did read ahead a little bit. But yeah, he does eventually become a god himself. And I think he...
I didn't know that.
Oh, I thought you just knew that because you read ahead. But yeah, he does eventually become a god. But that's not covered in the anime. I did read ahead on the plot a little bit on the wiki just to find that out. He has at least one child with each of his wives. And I'm guessing a web novel is past that point too. So I really do want to just go and read. Like, now that I know about that,
the web novel.
Be completely honest, I did not even know about the web novel until you found that out right before we started the podcast. So I thought there was just
It's probably not translated.
Looking at it now, yeah, it's translated.
Not all 500 chapters. I don't know.
I don't know if all 500 chapters are translated, but you can read it now on webnovel.com.
Cool. Yeah. What is a web novel? Is it, because I saw there was drawings from it. Is it literally just words, or is it like a web comic?
It would be light novels what web comics are for manga. But it seems the web novel, you said there was like 500 chapters, right?
Yeah, but I saw there was some artwork.
Web novel only goes up to like 200. I think it only goes up to chapter 209. So
they don't have all of it.
No. But if they got up to that point, maybe it's still being translated.
Okay, well.
I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to find out some more about that after this too, because I didn't even know.
Well, apparently that's ongoing, too. Even still, with everything that you just said, I mean, yeah, that's not good. I don't like that at all. I mean, what would be... I don't get this. To me, I mean, I don't like most isekai anime in general, mainly because isekai anime kind of invalidates life itself.
How does it validate life? You're getting dark. You're getting really dark. You're going to places that's how it makes me feel,
because it's like, it makes life pointless in a way, because, well, first off, usually it's a young character dying, so in the real world, and they're like, oh, well, the real world sucked ass and didn't matter anyways. That's usually how most isekai set up their premise, which that alone is kind of fucked up. So, like when isekai anime at least acknowledge the past life in some kind of way and, like, reference it like it mattered. But in this one, it's definitely like they don't give a fuck. The other life, fuck it. Like, literally at the beginning, he's like, oh, well, that's just how it is. No reference to his other life or his previous or anything he did there or anyone he did there at all. So that was just kind of already like puts a bad taste in my mouth with the.
Well, honestly, one thing I thought was kind of cool is like how, like.
He's cool to accept it, but it also it makes me think he's some kind of sick psychopath. Because he doesn't care that he just lost everyone he's ever loved, and he never even questions it at all. So, like, that alone makes his character very unlikable to me, just off that. Sure, he's a nice guy, but he's a nice guy on the pretense that he just doesn't give a fuck about anyone truly, because he literally abandoned his other family. Well, not by choice, but, like, he totally just is okay with it and doesn't ever have any questions or any battles with that. So that alone makes his character kind of suck ass to me.
I don't think so.
First
of all, we don't really, at least based off the anime, we don't really know much about his previous life.
Okay, I know. I'm saying, even still, that alone, I don't like that part of isekai anime in general. And I think a good isekai will like do it well, like where it will reference it in some kind of way and make it matter even a little bit. But the fact that this anime totally discards the regular life just makes life pointless. And then the another thing why this makes life even more pointless is that in this world, he's literally a god and he just can do anything. So, like, it makes me question, what was even
He can't literally do anything. Basically, when he got to the world, he couldn't even use magic.
He eventually can do anything. And the thing is, I don't know. I just didn't like it. And like you said, if he becomes a god and does all this shit, like, it's just, it's too much. It's too much. It's too pointless. It makes everything seem worthless in life. Like, because if you can just cheat, like, he even admits to himself, oh, this is kind of cheating, but he doesn't give a shit. Like, that's what I'm saying. He's a bad person. He's okay with having multiple wives.
I don't think he's a bad person. He goes out of his way to help his friends.
Like, abandoning people. Like, I don't know. Like I said, if he was a video game protagonist, maybe. But an anime character, I don't know. I just like my anime characters to have a little bit more personality, a little bit more heart, a little bit more.
How does he not have personality?
Based in reality, not based in like senseless, nonsense, which is kind of what this show derives into very quickly.
No, like it's shown that like his personality, he has a little bit of an etchy streak going for him, but also I think this show does a really good job of emphasizing that he's really smart. I don't think many people would have thought of using their smartphone in ways that he figured out how to use his smartphone.
God increases his cognitive abilities, though. That's not him again. That's God.
Even so, I think it's him a little bit too, because like cognitive abilities gives you ability to like maybe like sort through your thoughts a little bit faster. But he has to have these thoughts to begin with.
But the thing is, the thoughts never necessarily would have been created without God's power. He wouldn't have been able to think so creatively and, like, be able to solve the problems with the phone in the way that he does.
But the point is, he does use his newfound power to help people, and that alone shows that, yeah, he's...
Well,
He isn't completely selfish, and he's not, like, completely consumed by material things,
but he's willing to
share everything. Like even before, like the other girls, like Yai and Linz and Els, realized that they had feelings for him. He still wanted them to come stay with him in that mansion when he got it, because like he viewed them as valuable companions and friends. So that to me shows that he does have this selflessness about him. I don't think it's related directly to God's blessings.
We need to draw the distinction right now. the distinction between selfless and not giving a fuck. This motherfucker.
Yeah, I would say if I would describe not giving a fuck, I would describe you.
And him not giving a fuck might come off as selflessness because he doesn't give a shit. Like, he gives a shit about things that, like, in the moment. Like, he'll, like, care, oh, she's injured, I'll heal her. Like, there's a problem, I'll do it. But only in the moment. Long term, this motherfucker doesn't give a flying fuck about anyone or anything. And that's what you're saying makes him selfless.
Oh, it's and not, that's, it's not that's that why he has cares. 9 wives by the end is because he doesn't give a fuck. Yeah, that's why he chose to marry. No.
Exactly. That
doesn't even make sense. Why would you even get married if you didn't give a fuck? You could just sleep around with whoever.
If you have 9 of the hottest chicks in the realm,
you know
who cares?
And then you know what? When he all these girls come to him asking to make them his wife and stuff, he has to stop and think. And remember, the thought that came to his head is, do I think that I am going to be good enough for them? Am I going to be able to provide for them? And it was like a thought that was bothering him so much that he literally had to go and talk to God himself to really get his thoughts straight before he decided to give them an answer. So he gave actual thought to that. And that's not something somebody who does not give a fuck would do.
It actually is exactly what someone who doesn't give a fuck would
do. Oh, somebody who doesn't give a fuck would, like, literally be so bothered by the thought of whether he would be good enough for all these girls that he decides to go talk to God himself.
People
like,
that are psychopaths can still be insecure.
So you're saying a complete psychopath will use his teleportation powers to go talk to God about something that is bothering him that he may not be able to help these other people out that he really cares about? Because obviously he does care if bothered him enough.
If the psychopath believes that the entity that they go to would give them advice that would reinforce their delusions, which the gods do reinforce his delusion of being able to just do whatever the fuck he wants.
No. Like, why would God reinforce this random kid's delusions that he just accidentally killed?
Why would God give this kid God-tier powers and throw him in a world and, like, basically for fun? Because
God killed him with a lightning bolt by accident. If I got killed by a lightning bolt by accident, I would expect to get some God tier powers and sent to another world with magic.
Here's my theory on why God killed him. God knew that if he stayed alive in the regular world, he would grow up to be like a sociopath serial killer. So he thought it would be fun to take him out of the real world and put him into this world and give him a bunch of powers and see what he would do. And this is what he did. Instead of becoming a serial rapist killer, he became a harem master.
Wow. I mean, like, most people would have watched this anime and they would have been like, huh, that was a fun and entertaining watch. But you look for the dark sides of humanity so quickly in everything. It's absolutely unbelievable.
This anime highlights the dark sides of everything. Like I said, this anime...
How does it highlight the dark sides of anything?
This anime represents a lot of things. So, like, it represents... Harem anime in itself... represents like
I thought we agreed that it has harem elements, but it doesn't really qualify as a full-blown harem.
I'm saying, okay, harem anime in itself is like a degenerate, like, fantasy of, like, men, which is kind of disgusting and depraved, and it gives anime a bad name. 2, isekai anime is an anime for losers that just want to escape from reality because their real life sucks because they're probably losers. So that's why that anime is appealing.
No,
so this,
like,
combines...
Just because you have, like, some power fantasy doesn't make you a loser.
So that,
that's the
that
reason
combines,
people play video games and stuff.
Yeah, but this is, like, not, like, playing a video game. This is literally giving up your actual life, dying completely, abandoning reality, and diving into the fantasy. Which is
Isn't
what
that
we
what
call
you
it,
do every time you play Dungeons and Dragons?
This is what we call in reality fucking psycho.
No.
You should never abandon reality and be okay with it. No. You can play with
he
reality.
He doesn't abandon reality, first of all. He gets killed. He had no control over that.
If he could have told God, no, it was my time. I just want to be, like, non-existent. He could have
said
that.
Would you, what? Look, if you got the chance to start over, would you be like, nah, I'm good. Just send me to the, like, the endless void of the afterlife.
I'm just saying.
It was a good 16 years. I think I'm done. Let's be real. Especially if you get offered the chance to keep your smartphone and then gain God tier power.
I'm not arguing what would be the perverse thing to do. But I'm arguing what would be like the morally righteous thing to do.
But really, like, would you make... I mean, honestly, I don't even think that's the morally righteous decision.
Because
I think Toya like knew that there was more good that he still could do in life. And he does that after he gets sent to the new world.
And I would argue that it's not him, but God.
So you're saying God sent Toya to do all these great things.
Okay, let's compare Jesus Christ to him. Jesus Christ wasn't nearly as powerful as him. And Jesus Christ literally was the incarnation of God himself. So since this character is more powerful than like literally Jesus Christ himself, then yeah, I would say he's basically God incarnate on Earth's form, living God's perverse fantasy out for him. Which is the reason that I think God took him out in the first place. This is all a sick game to God. God is actually the main villain. And if the
it's amazing. The longer we go on, the darker your theories get. I didn't think your theory was going to get any darker than it already has, but I think by the time we're done with this, your theories are generally going to like.
So outside of that monster of a main character, let's talk about the other characters because I don't have as negative opinions. So who do we got? We got the twins. What do we think about the twins?
I really like both of them. I like I think Elle's. She's a tsundere character, but a tsundere character with a lot more personality than what a typical tsundere character would have. So in my opinion, she's one of the best points of the show as far as the initial cast. But I also really like Linz because Linz is just a. I can't really just put my finger on it, but yeah, Lint has boobs.
Yeah.
And honestly, though, all joking aside, Lint ends up becoming genuinely helpful to Toya early on because without her, Toya would have never learned magic to begin with. So, like, if he had never met the two twins, he would have never, like, probably gotten to the point where he's as overpowered as he is now.
And then
on top of that, they helped him sign up for the Adventurers Guild and stuff too. Toya didn't seem at first too interested in making companions before he met them. So if like let's say he had met somebody who wasn't as generous and like helpful.
You know what's fucked up? He did learn how to read really quickly. They teach him how to read, and then like the next episode, he's like reading novels. But again, that's God. So like the thing is, I can't even give him credit for anything because it's just God. Like
no, you can give him credit for everything. Like
he's just a vessel of God's perverse nature incarnate. So like whatever, his actual personality is irrelevant.
Well, what did you think about the twins, at least? You've talked to death about how Toya is basically just God's puppet. So what about the twins?
The twins, well, they're actually kind of, you know, a real anime character instead of God's puppet, like you said. So that's a plus. They're like a real character that exists. I mean, I don't know. They were okay. They don't really have an arc of any kind.
They do.
I guess
Elle goes through that thing where she like thinks she's
She did like
thinks
the
she's
dress
too masculine
thing.
For like the dress, but then Toya
thing,
encourages.
What was
her
the other chick? She like wasn't as good with certain magic or something.
Toya's encouragement helped her to learn that bubble bomb blast move.
Yeah,
and I think that shows like how like. You see how their relationships are developing throughout the course of the show. It's not just like they go from zero to in love. Like you see these relationships develop over the course of the show and seeing how Toya affects their lives and stuff.
We've talked about it in some of the other shows. We've talked about, and it could just be, I mean, it definitely is just the length of the anime that we normally cover. they do these things where they have like one episode where the entire character's story arc plays out because that's all the time they really have for it. And that doesn't bode well for me because, I mean, they definitely had more time to build up these characters more. I felt like the turn where like they were like just friends and then like they're all in love with him happened too quickly.
That didn't happen.
I also feel that
like it didn't happen until close to the end of the show.
I also feel that their story arc of like them, like I said, they just have these mini arcs where they have literally like 10 minutes or 5 minutes in an episode where like they have this whole plot play out of their like inner struggle and then resolution. I think stupid. And then of course the only other arc that they really have is just like, you know, wanting to marry him. And like as far as these characters and all the other characters, I don't really see, most of these characters don't really have any true goal or end goal. Like, what was their plan if they didn't meet him? They were just like
they wanted to be something. Adventurers.
I don't know, man. I just kind of like, they're just
no, like all these characters have their own like goals and motivations, and with the exception of maybe Sushi, but Sushi's still really young, so I think we can give her a break on that. Lens and Els, they wanted to be adventurers. Lens wanted to obviously get better at magic. Els wanted to like probably get better at her like forge ability or whatever, but they really just wanted to be like high level adventurers. I think that's admirable.
Yeah,
and you see, like that's how Toya meets them at the beginning. Is they did this like freelance quest to get that glass antler, and it ended up not working out in their favor because like they didn't get paid for it. At least they didn't get paid by the clients who hired them. Toya gives him the money just so he can break it. But I thought that, yeah, you could see like where their lives would have gone if they hadn't met Toya. And I think they would have been on that same path. I think it was their path to being adventurers that ultimately led to Toya wanting to adventure. It definitely was, too. So I think both the twins were pretty great characters. You kind of see like that sisterly bond quite a bit throughout the show as well. And I just really like their character designs.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I every character is kind of just, they're blank slates that are just anime tropes incarnate.
No. Oh well, like let's go.
My
to
theory on this show, like we talked about, I also think this is a simulation from the Angel Beats theory. Continuing on with that, and this is a failed sim where they were trying to you know have like a perfect harem type of story, and it ended up devolving into some nonsense and. They just abandoned it halfway through and just let it play itself. And this is how it turned out. Just a shit show.
I think this was a pretty solid show overall. But I mean, that aside, let's go to the other characters. Yai, what did you think about her? I thought she was a really interesting character. And
she's going to have to be my waifu just because I like samurai chicks.
You know who she reminded me of more than anything? Cosmos from Orosuki. Her personality was kind of very similar to it. Like, Cosmos. I don't know why.
Saying,
I just got that
I know you're
vibe,
saying that as a pro, but you're making me like her less just by making that comparison.
Nah, I thought, like...
I would say
I just got that vibe from her.
She's a lot cooler. Way better. So many ways.
I mean, I can't argue against. And, I don't know. I'm kind of tied between.
Let me tell you why, like, I like her character. I like her character because she actually shows compassion. She wanted to know what her brother was doing before they even went there. She like was the only character that showed interest in kind of like bettering themselves in like a true way. Yeah.
You don't think that Lin's spending using all of her mana every day training to learn that bubble bomb blast was trying to better herself?
Yeah, but she
like literally expended all of her mana every day to the point of complete exhaustion.
I don't know what her end goal was though.
To learn the bubble bomb blast because you know she wanted to better herself.
That wasn't even a good like spell.
It ended up being pretty.
It was pretty worthless.
No, it was pretty useful. I mean, like, they got in the fight almost immediately after she learned that spell, and she did that, that move, and it ended up helping them take out the monsters they were fighting.
Yeah, I don't know. She is probably just the best character, in my opinion.
I can't even argue against that. I think there's an argument to be made why all of these girls are the best character. It just depends on, I think, what type of character you're more drawn to. And honestly, that's something I still now I'm having a hard time figuring out which of the girls I thought was the best overall out of all of Toya's fiancés. So I think I'm going to be struggling with that for years. Eventually, I may about
come up with an answer. I just like samurais the nature of it, because she actually is the only character that has honor and dignity. Well, at least until the end, where she becomes a sellout like the rest. So
what do you mean honor? Like, how do all the can you explain to me how any of the other characters don't have honor and dignity? Please explain that.
The princess chick wanted to marry him in 10 seconds. The other chicks just were completely.
He saved her father from literal death.
Yeah, but.
And then he goes out of his way to find the guy also, who actually poisoned him.
Yeah, that's true. But
that is a great first impression to make on somebody.
I've stated my case.
No, your case is bullshit.
That's your opinion. Let's go to the next character.
Lean.
Lean is a sexual predator and should be should be canceled because of that.
It's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking that too. Like, Lean is basically this anime's equivalent of Pepe Le Pew from Lean.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen anime. I mean, I've seen perverted shit, but she's literally a rapist. I've seen anime literally where characters get raped, and it wasn't even as brutal. As what she assaulted.
She likes to fondle other girls' boobs. I mean, sometimes girls like to play with other girls' boobs.
I didn't like it in the fact that she's 600 years old, and I think that chick may have been underage. There's a lot of red flags going off here. I hated her character for obviously because she's a pedo.
Did you say the 600 something year old looks under? I guess she does kind of look young for her age. So yeah, I can see that.
She's like a pedo.
I think that that's something too.
And she's like a fairy. I mean, I didn't like that.
I thought the fairy thing was kind of cool. And the few you only ever see her pull out her wings two or three times in the show, but I thought that was kind of cool. It's the only at least in the show, it's the only non-human chick that you actually see wanting to get with Toya. I think some of the other girls that we didn't see in the show, but out of the girls we saw on the show, she's the only non-human one.
Yeah, well, I didn't like it.
I thought Ling was pretty cool, and she by far taught Toya one of the most useful abilities in the show with program. And honestly, each of these girls have some cool abilities and stuff, but Lean's ability is by far the coolest in the show. Program. Do you know what all I could do with an ability like that? Oh man, I would basically have I'd probably use program to I don't know. I'd buy a bunch of toys from the store and just go have them make my breakfast for me every morning or something. That ability is so freaking awesome. And then seeing how Toya, this is another thing going back to how my boy Toya is totally, totally a badass. How he combines all these abilities he learns to make new abilities. When he combines program with he combines program with that ability to just move stuff one place to another, and some other abilities to make the gun. Which I will say this much: that's one downside of the show is the fact that Toya would even make a gun when a gun is pretty underpowered for just how many powers Toya has by that point. Slip by itself is overpowered enough. Like, Slip could win every fight in the show. Like, there's, like, not a single enemy in the show that was able to stop Slip.
Yeah, and that joke was not funny after the
second it was freaking awesome. You know, if you had some magical abilities, you would want that Slip spell. Because we're both Final Fantasy fans, I'm hoping they add that to Final Fantasy 16, a Slip spell. Square, get on that, please. I guess with that out of the way, let's get to Yumina and Sushi. I think we should talk about both of them together because they are cousins. Yeah. They don't seem to have a stronger relationship as what you would expect, like cousins, like, because they're like first cousins too. You would expect them to have more of a relationship, but like Yumina obviously has like this semi sisterly relationship like to Sushi, where she does care for Sushi deeply. You see, like, she wanted to take the opportunity to show Sushi around in that one kingdom they went to when she had the chance. So that was going to... And if also it was because... I don't think if it wasn't for Sushi... Well, at least for Sushi's father, which is another character. Probably the only other dude that I'm thinking we'll actually talk about because he was a great character of himself. But without that, like... Toya would have never met Yumina. So Sushi herself, we don't really get to know enough about her in the show. For people who are like readers of the web novel or readers of the manga or whatever, I know they probably go a lot more into her character, but we don't get to see much of that in the show. I was a little disappointed in that. I felt like they had more opportunities to really develop Sushi more in the show, but we don't actually get to see that. That aside, though, when you do actually see her, she is a genuinely interesting character. I kind of like her little tantrums she throws, and you can see how she attaches to Toya early on. Like, she kind of like more like a like has this like little sister type of relationship to Toya, and I thought that was pretty adorable. What did you think about Sushi?
I think jailbait child pedophilia is not adorable.
What?
I think like, that...
I don't know how you're getting that out
how of... How old is like, she, 12?
I don't know. I just got done saying she had like this little sister type of relationship to Toya in the show.
Yeah, like little sister, a little bit of time like Pornhub relationship.
No.
No.
And,
wait,
and
doesn't
honestly,
he make out with her? Isn't she like 12?
No, he does not. What the hell are you talking about?
He does kiss her, doesn't he?
No, he kisses Yumina.
Does he not kiss her?
No.
But aren't they both 12?
No, Sushi's younger. Let's see. How young is Sushi? Yumina, I think, is 12. Sushi is 10. Yeah. And Yumina is 12. Yeah,
that's too far.
Toya does say like he was going to wait like
that doesn't stop him from making out with her.
You're talking about Sushi again? Because I just got done saying he doesn't.
You keep
Sushi.
Mixing. I don't know. I don't remember who's who. But I know he makes out with one of them.
Yeah, Yumina. He kisses Yumina, but Yumina was his first fiance.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's fucked up.
I'd say, let's see, how old is Toya? In the show, he is, let's see.
16.
Yeah. So,
a 16-year-old making out with a 12-year-old is okay.
I don't necessarily think that's okay, but at the same time, it's, considering they're both still just kids.
16 is not a fucking kid, dude.
Yeah, anything younger than 18 is.
what the fuck? No, but, dude. Difference, dude. That is like, fucked. I'm just saying that is fucked.
The thing is, by the time they actually get married, Toya is probably... Well, actually, both of them are probably like close to 20. Well, like, they're in their 20s. Like, yeah, Sushi would probably... Actually, yeah, Sushi would probably be about 20 by the time they get married. I don't know. But,
Either way, yeah, they were just, like, little kids.
Yeah, but the thing is, we're not, like, looking at this in the sense of, like, the modern world where, yeah, that would be, like, really wrong. But in terms of, like, you know, the
world... I'm not even thinking the modern world. I'm thinking of, like, pre-pubescent, like, literally pedophilia.
This is not that, and it never goes toward the explicit area at all.
He literally makes out with one of them.
No, he literally hugs and kisses one of them. But that aside, though, we're talking about their character. What did you think about
and their character were just sex objects for him, which is completely inappropriate.
Oh, my God. No, they were not. Literally, like, probably... I don't think at any point in the show are any of these girls portrayed as sex objects.
Well, here's the thing. I think both of them were stupid. They were too young to even be in the show. They completely throw off the balance of the harem. Like, they just
keep on calling this a harem. I was willing to give you a little leeway and say it has some harem elements, which you don't even see until, like, the very end of the show. But for the most part, I would say this show is... I would put it more in a isekai and slice of life, to be honest.
But yeah, so they literally suck. They're just, and they're boring. They're annoying. Let me think of anything else to note. They're both princesses. So they like come from families. God knows what they did before. God knows what they would have done after. They have no arcs. Nothing to say. Boring as fuck. And highly inappropriate.
Wow. Well, all that aside, there's three... I don't really want to... I mean, there's three other fiancés that Toya gets later on that are not in the show.
We don't see any of them?
Not in the show, no. We don't see Hildegard.
We saw that Sakura... In the show,
no, we don't.
I could have sworn. No.
When?
Let me see. Yeah, she's in the anime. Sakura, she survived an assassination attempt being rescued by him.
When in the anime? Because I do not remember ever seeing her, and I've seen the show twice now.
Click on the damn thing and click on the... There's an anime screenshot when she was in it. She was, like, in the background. I don't think she's, like, introduced...
Let's see. It doesn't even... It's, oh, yeah, it says she shows up in episode 12 of the anime, but I do not remember ever seeing her.
She's, like, in the background. I don't think she talks to him.
Oh, so you were digging deep to find this.
No, I just saw the last episode yesterday, and she.
Yeah, it says like Lucia. She's in the anime in episode 12, also.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
And Hildegard, let's see her. She was also in episode 12, so.
Oh.
Maybe I need to go back and watch episode 12.
I didn't realize that. I didn't see the other two. Well, I think. Well, don't they like show like a flash of his future wife's or something? Maybe that's where I saw her from. I don't remember. I just remember seeing that other chick. But yeah, I guess not too much to say about them. This is not a manga or light novel I'll be checking out. I know that, so.
I don't know. We might, if this gets a season two.
Well, 2017, it's not looking good.
Well, like somehow this is going to get a season two.
If the manga, we don't know if the manga's over. I think the light novels are over. But I guess the webcomic's still going on, so I guess anything's possible.
So, one other character I did want to talk about was the Duke, Sushi's father. I cannot pronounce this guy's name. Well, actually, his first name is Alfred. So Duke Alfred Ernest Ordlin. I always just calling him the Duke or Sushi's father the entire time. But he's a great character. He's I think. Maybe next to, I mean, like, I can't describe it, but his character, even though he wasn't a major character in the show, I don't think the show would have worked without him, because he's kind of like what connects Toya to like a lot of other stuff. And overall, I think he's just like a really interesting character for them to interact with. I like how he's got like this childlike curiosity and all of this stuff that Toya introduces to him, like shogi and bicycles and stuff. When Toya like made ice cream and stuff, and like, you know, he kind of reminds me of
Might Guy if he got laid.
That's interesting. What?
even his he has like friendly competition with his like brother, and he's like always just like this like really overspoken like childish adult. So
yeah, I really do like that Duke as a character. I thought he was really interesting, and he was more than just comic relief. He was actually just.
He was a plot device that gave the character money and power and privilege and resources.
Yeah. Yeah. So, characters like. We need more characters like this in anime.
More plot devices to make an overpowered character not only be overpowered, but get all the respect and admiration of literally fucking royalty and give them an infinite amount of finances and literally a mansion later on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think you know, Toya earned all the stuff that he got, though. It wasn't like stuff was just given to him. Toya, like, you know, he went on, like, he did all that stuff, like, he healed the Duke's wife. Remember, she was blind, she couldn't see. And then he healed his brother, the king, and stuff. He made that portal that allowed the king to go to I forgot what that one kingdom was.
I can't remember names.
Yeah, anything. Yeah, but it was Toya earned everything that he got in the show. It was like through his hard work and his dedication, his generosity. Overall, Toya was just a really good guy, and this show does point out that, you know, like something that a lot of anime seems to forget is that sometimes good things do happen to good people. So, I think that's something that I definitely took away from my time watching the show. And this was my second time watching the show for this podcast. It was more enjoyable the second time than it was the first time watching it. I genuinely do think this is a great show that a lot more people definitely should check out. That being said, I do have a few criticisms on this show that if this does get a season two, I would like to see fixed. Yeah. First of all, I think like there's a lot of characters that just like they show up and they have a lot of they seem to be really important to the plot, but we don't get a lot of time to like get to know these characters, these characters develop stuff. Like Lane, for instance. Lane, I will really feel like she was heavily underutilized, and she should have been more central to the plot from the time she was introduced. Because like she's introduced, and then in the next episode, it's like she's running the place. And I'm like, I would have liked to see how we got from point A to point B. Just don't pit me at point B and say this whole line from point A to point B already happened. But that being said, Lane was a good character, so I can, you know, let it go. And I did like, you know, her interactions with the other characters in the show. Another thing too is I really feel like they should have spent more time in Ishin. So they go to Ishin, they meet Yai's family, they basically like completely end a war that the
Gilgamesh's all the fucking zombies.
Yeah, and that was pretty awesome and stuff, but I feel like they should have did more in Ishin than just that one thing, and then that was it. That and also maybe spend some more time with, like, because those other characters seem to be going through their own, like, in Ishin, when they were fighting that samurai, all the other characters fighting that samurai, I felt like they should have had more involvement in the fight before Toya just ended it. because it seemed like it was something that they had been working towards for a long time. So I had no problem with Toya, like, you know, coming in to help, because I knew that's what Toya was going to do. That's the kind of guy he was. But also, it kind of, like, it demeaned, like, the effort that the other those other men had been pitting in, because they were in this fortress and they were probably fighting this battle for God knows how long before Toya got there. So I felt like it would have been great to at least see them fight some of the other zombies while Toya was taking out the big baddie. But that being said, though, I guess that didn't totally ruin the show. I can understand that they had 12 episodes, so they didn't have time to really develop, like, all these other characters that were probably never going to come up again. I do think that Toya should have gotten to spend more time with Yai's family, though, because those are his future in-laws. Like, Toya should have gotten to know them a lot better before leaving. He was just there. Like, he says something to her, and the woman, like, Yai's mom is like, who are you again? So,
yeah. Well, I mean, he didn't meet half chick's parents. One other character, though, we didn't talk about was the wolf dude. He was cool. Or the tiger.
Are you talking about the king?
What? The fucking tiger that was turned into the stuffed animal dude.
The tiger? Oh, you're talking about, yeah, his, like, that's, what's her name? I can't remember. Oh,
starts with a K. But he was known as the White Monarch.
Yeah. I can't remember. Why can't I remember? Like, that tiger was pretty awesome. And then the turtle and the snake.
Yeah, the turtle. There was a stuffed animal. Those are the best characters. They had more personality and backstory than all the other characters. But there is one super duper important character we didn't talk about. Probably the most important character. And I can't believe you overlooked them.
Are you going to say a bench again?
No, I'm talking about the smartphone. Can we talk about the fucking smartphone?
Yeah, what? Was that an iPhone or an Android?
Let's talk about it. Is he just going to have that one smartphone? Like,
yeah, and like,
was it evolved? Does it become a different smartphone later on? What if he wants
features? Because, like, I'm assuming it was, like, running Android, because if it was an iPhone, it would have been out of date by, like, the second episode.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's magical and godly. I was looking, apparently, like, later on, he gets a Gundam, so that's kind of cool.
Really? Oh. When was this?
It's in the light novel. I just saw, like, his, like, powers and abilities.
He gets the freaking Gundam?
But yeah, because I wanted to look.
Oh, this show just got so. This whole thing just got so much better.
See, but I was look because I wanted to talk about. I guess, just kind of going into. Unless you have anything more to say about story and characters, just going into the best moments and aspects.
I think that's all I had to say about stories and characters. I really liked pretty much all the characters in this show. I really feel like the biggest downside is that. I mean, I understand 12 episodes. We need a season 2. We need possibly a couple more seasons to get to know a lot of these other characters. And I wouldn't even mind maybe a sequel or a spinoff where we get to see, like, Toya's kids' lives and stuff. Because, like, you know, I think he has kids and then he ends up becoming a god. And then I don't know if he ends up staying on that planet or I guess he leaves, and maybe this starts the cycle again where Toya is just tossing around lightning bolts one day, kills somebody, and then they start a isekai in another world with a more advanced smartphone.
Worst premise I've ever heard.
Yeah, because this came out like 2013, right? Like, smartphones have gotten a lot smarter. So, like,
that's true. That is true. His phone doesn't even fold.
Yeah, I mean, like, so seeing somebody, like, you know, maybe with a smartphone that they did a lot with the smartphone concept as it is, but like seeing them go even further, like playing some mobile games, and you know, somehow through magic the mobile games, like maybe they're playing Fate Grand Order or something, and the cards that he summons in a mobile game can become like characters in the world and stuff.
Yeah, isn't that lame he didn't play a single fucking game on his phone the whole time, man?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of disappointed in that, but like I said, there's so much potential for a sequel to this show.
Did he even jack off to porn one time? I mean,
I don't think, you know, if you had godlike powers, that that would be the first thing you want to do.
That's probably the reason he asked for the phone in the first place. Let's be honest.
No, I think he wanted the phone just so that he could.
You're telling me a 16-year-old kid wanted a, like, it's for the porn, bro.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't Facebook. He wanted to keep up with what's going on Twitter.
On Pornhub. But yeah, what I was going to say, I guess my best moment, it's a tricky one. I liked the Gunblade. That was cool. I wish we got to see him build the Gundam. That sounds even cooler.
That does sound awesome.
The Gunblade, though, was pretty cool. And other than that, I mean, I guess my favorite aspect was the chicks were okay. They were interesting. The battle sequences were kind of cool. Again, though, I just wish it was a video game. I mean, I'm going to keep saying that. It just doesn't really work as anime as well as it should. And that's why I think a lot of people shit on it, because it doesn't really have much that stands out besides that. I mean, even the art and animation, pretty basic. Music, nothing special. Characters, nothing special.
Oh, the art and animation were incredible for this.
This is a pretty forgettable anime to me, but what was your best moments and aspects?
Honestly, my best moment was when he used Slip in the under fight with that king of, I forgot what that kingdom was called. But when he was using Slip on that king during that fight, that was, for me, the best moment of the show.
When he beat him in the first try?
Yeah, like, beat him in, like, first 10 seconds with, like, he cast Slip and just put a sword in his face. Did you see how pissed off that king was? Oh, it was great. And overall, like, I thought, you know, like, at best aspects of the show. I like the whole premise of the show. I think they took a pretty interesting premise, and they did some genuinely interesting things with it. So I think that's it for me on best moments and aspects.
So then your final thoughts then? What do you have to say?
My final thoughts are the show was great. It's proof that you can take, like, you know, like, there's still a lot left, even with a premise that you think has been, like, you know, the whole concept of isekai, a premise that you think has been like covered so many times, and, you know, it's just, there's nothing new you can do with it. The show shows that you could take a concept that, you know, like an isekai that has been, like, done, like, over and over, and you could have a fresh new twist on it, and you could do something new with a pretty old concept, and genuinely excite, like viewers, and, like, draw new people into the isekai genre in general. So I really love the show. I think everybody should at least try it out. It's it's definitely got, and also, it's got one of the best dubs I've ever seen for a light novel adaptation. So that's another thing it has going for it.
I didn't know how to dub.
All right, so that's it for me. What's your final thoughts?
Well, I mean, I've kind of said it over and over as we talked and kind of reflecting on the series. I think I've grown to dislike it even more. I don't think it's worth watching. I don't think it's worth engaging with at all. Unless you truly have nothing else to watch. But I think almost any anime, to a certain extent, especially in the two genres that it most widely represents here, would be better. This is probably one of the worst. This is the worst isekai anime I've watched to completion, I would say. And that's yeah. I haven't seen a crazy amount of isekai or anything, but this definitely is the worst one. And I hate Sword Art Online. So that's saying something. This is definitely worse than Sword Art Online. At least that has some cohesive plot and development. But yeah, just because I'm a big character guy, this characters basically do nothing in this whole show, and I felt like it was kind of just a nothing experience. The only thing, like I said, I did enjoy was the characters were kind of fun and the world was somewhat interesting, but I think everything would have played out in a different medium, which maybe the manga is better because it, like, gives more time for development in certain ways, but I'm not even going to bother with anything. So I would say not recommend, and yeah, I would... didn't like it.
Yeah, I obviously disagree with that wholeheartedly, but I guess we can get to the my anime list for this real quick.
Yeah, I'm sitting at about a 4 right now.
Well, we can't give it anything less than a 6.
I think we got to give it a 5.
No. A 6 is where I'm kind of like trying to negotiate at.
I mean,
I feel like it truly deserves a 7. But
come on, man. Come on. You've seen our anime list.
Yeah, that's why I'm willing to go with a 6.
I think 5 is respectable.
No, 5 is not respectable. The show deserves much better than a 5.
I can't put it at a 6, man. The shows that we gave a 6 were better.
I can't go any lower than a 6.
I liked MM better than
this. A 6 is where I'm kind of like trying to meet you in the middle because I feel like it deserves higher. So I feel like it deserves a 7. I think a 7 is actually what this deserves, but I'm willing to go down to a 6.
That's tricky. I don't know what the right answer is here.
I guess we could go in another world.
God damn it. I just don't know what to give it though. I don't know what to give it. I don't want to give it a 6, man. You think it's
better? I don't want to give it a 5.
You think it's as good as all of our other 6s?
What else did we give a 6 to?
MM.
Yes, this is definitely as good as MM. In fact, you know, I've already mentioned before, I think
High School of the Dead and Sunday Without God, we all gave those all 6s.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's better than some of those. I will say without a doubt this show is better than Sunday Without God.
I'm going to have to completely disagree with you. 5 is an average, and I think this show is leaning towards bad, not leaning towards average.
No. I think
I started honestly, off with the podcast saying
like
a 5
I said, out of 10. Like I said, I think this show deserves a 7.
If we could give it a 5.5,
go as low as a 6.
If we could give it a 5.4 out of 10, I would say let's give it a 5.4, but we can't.
I'm personally sitting at around a 6.5, but I'm willing to go as low as a 6. So I'm trying to actually meet you in the middle of this.
I'm trying to
negotiate.
But how shitty would an anime need to be for it to be worse than this, but better than No Gun's Life?
How low did we give No Gun's Life?
A 4.
Really? We gave it something that high?
So that's what I'm trying to think. There has to be something.
We need to readjust that because No Gun's Life deserves the way.
I don't think the gap between this and No Gun's Life is as far as what that would be. That's what I'm saying.
The gap is it's like night and day.
If this doesn't get a 5, I don't think there's anything that will ever get a 5 because I don't think there's going to be anything that's like completely average that we'll watch.
I can think of animes right now that
this is the most average anime I've ever seen.
How is what average like how? The concept is totally unique and interesting.
All right, the My Anime scale, it goes 4 is a bad, 5 is average, 6 is fine, 7 is good. It's definitely not good.
I'm actually at a 7, but I'm willing to go down to a 6 to meet you in the middle.
I said I wanted to give it a 4.
So if you are at a 5 and I'm at a 7, I think 6 is, you know, perfectly in the middle, and I'm willing to settle with that.
I think it's more of a 4, though.
No.
A lot of people
comparing this to No Gun's Life is like an insult. That is a true insult. In fact,
I would push this over to the Reddit, the anime Reddit, but I'm pretty sure they're going to give it like a 2, so that won't be fair.
All right.
How about this? We will give it a 6 for now, but
all right,
if we get more votes less than 6 on a poll we put on Twitter and Reddit, then we drop it to a 5.
How do you feel about that?
I would like to adjust that because with that poll, it's going to lean toward the lower side. That's just how Reddit works.
What do you mean? That's not how. That's I'm just.
That's I no. Think... Like I know how Reddit works. So look, instead,
I know this is instead, this is
instead
personal...
of having a poll, I say we just let people suggest a number, and for every number lower than six. Well, lower than a five, or five or less, will go towards the five score. Any number higher than a five, so six or higher, will go toward the six score.
All right, I can agree to that. So if you want to vote in that, we'll have the link for that in the description on where we'll post information about it. And then, yeah, I mean, damn it. That really hurts me giving it a six for now.
I mean, it honestly truly deserves higher, but six I think a six is reasonable. Because I understand that there's people who, like, you know, like this anime might be a little too real for them, and I understand that. But,
all right. Well, with that said, I guess we'll wrap this episode. And next week, let me see. What did I decide? Okay. So next week, we are doing Astra Lost in Space, which is an awesome anime I have not seen, but I have read the manga extensively. I'm probably halfway through the manga. I don't know how far the anime covers in the manga, but it definitely doesn't seem like it could probably sum up in 12 episodes. So maybe this is one we'll get a season 2 for. Who knows? But we're going to be covering at least the first 12 episodes of that. And I believe Noob here has not seen
it. I've never seen it. I've been wanting to watch it, so
it's dived into it. So it's a good opportunity. It's going to be an anime that we're both watching for the first time, technically. So that'll be cool. Hopefully it is as good as the manga. But yeah, other than that, any other closing thoughts for you, Noob?
Nope. I'm looking forward to Astra Lost in Space, and I guess we'll see y'all next week.
Yep, we'll see you guys next week, and we'll have a nice break from the harem anime. And hopefully I'll talk to Noob off screen and make sure that his next pick's not a harem, because I know...
This was not a harem! So.
I know we're all tired of it, so...
No, this was not a harem.
All right, but we'll see you guys next week.
Awesome.